following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to a first edition of the Doug and Daddy Show for July. I just want to put this in perspective, Randy Bushcutter.
Breaking the seal on it, are we?
Here's what I'm doing. This is the first show of July. The last show of July, we will be in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days, and it will be on. So
it will be
enjoy
on.
The month.
Yeah.
Enjoy the month.
This We're easing into it. We're easing into it.
So we're going to talk really not any football today. It's quiet. It's quiet, and hopefully that's a good thing. Not a lot of kids are going to be worried about committing at this time. They're taking care of their holidays. Camps are going on. A few more camps will be going on. High school camps, basically, after the 4th of July. And about 3 weeks away, the coaches' clinic will be going on in Lincoln. The coaches' all-star volleyball, basketball, softball games. We've got some news on that front. The Nebraska Coaches Association has put out the coaches of the year from this past year, some from the area, some not from the area, but have ties with some of the competition we've seen at state or or otherwise. We'll tell you about that in a little bit. We're going to talk a little Legion baseball. Tino Martinez, Grand Island Home Federal coach, going to join us coming off a tight doubleheader sweep against North Platte last night, which keeps them in the race for the Cornhusker League West title. They'll play Kearney for the marbles tomorrow, then the winner will play in the championship on Monday. Plus, they're going to the Mike Peterson tournament, just like Grand Island, Hastings, and a bunch of teams. It's the mini state this weekend, so we'll talk with Tino about that. They're sitting at 26-9 right now. Also, today is the entry deadline for the State Games of America, the Cornhusker State Games every other year, but since Nebraska is hosting the nationwide games, this takes its place. Plus, I'm guessing if people are coming in from other states, they're going to be fairly competitive. Some of them just want to do it, you know, come and see
it. It runs the gamut. It really does. It runs the gamut of what you want to do.
So we'll talk to Dave Malarnik, the executive director, later on in the program about how to get registered if you still want to do that, and how things are going, how things are looking, where the strong sports are. 47 states are going to be represented, so should be a good time. We've got the Women's World Cup and
back-to-back World War champs winning again yesterday. They looked good yesterday. Better than they've looked by far in any game that they played so far in the World Cup.
I can't break that down. What I watched.
Well, they possessed the ball. They never had the ball before. You know, I mean, they just never really passed the ball with much efficiency and possessed the ball very much until yesterday against the best team in the world. So they raised their game.
I just know that listening and watching part of the first half last night and listening to the commentary about how well the United States women were playing and how dominant they were, and it was 0-0 at half, you had to be worried.
Yeah, and I was. We were. The whole family was together in the basement, and we were sweating
without
it
a storm warning.
That's where the big screen's at.
But then again, can you believe? I mean, I go back to the Dustin Johnson putt. How in the world can Germany? The Americans did it earlier
miss
in pool
PK.
Play. Not just miss the penalty kick. You can't even come close. How wide? You probably know how wide is a soccer goal. 20 feet?
Yeah, I think it's 23 feet.
How in the hell can you miss the whole thing?
Well,
I'm serious. I remember Big Daddy saying, I can at least serve the volleyball over the net, even if I have to do it underhand. How can you miss?
Oh, yeah, you can roll it up there. Yeah, but there's zero chance that that goaltender isn't going to be able to block it.
You have to punch it. All you do is punch it. You don't have to overswing. You don't have to finesse it.
She overdid it. She overdid it. One of the best players in the world.
She choked. I'd
use a different word if there was a different word.
Nobody's bringing that up because that tells me where soccer is. If this is such a big deal, and I'm not trying to downplay this, so don't take it that way, but if you're going to hammer a golfer, you have to hammer this. How can you possibly miss that? I mean, it wasn't even close to the pipe. So if you got 23 feet to work with, she was 3-4 feet wide left, and Germany would have been up 1-0 65 minutes into the game. You can't tell me that there wouldn't have been immense pressure
on
the United States.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It would have changed the entire game because the Americans then had momentum. I mean, you saw the crowd reaction. They always cut to the American crowd when something positive happens, and it gave them a shot in the arm. We got away with something. Now let's go get us a goal. I mean, it does. It changes the game, absolutely. Is it a choke? Yes, it's a choke, but again, there is somebody trying to stop you from doing what you're doing. It isn't like a putt where, and I know how hard it is because I've played enough golf to know that I can't putt worth a dang. But there's somebody trying to stop you from doing it. You know, again, yeah, you could throw you could get it over the net with a volleyball serve, absolutely. But you got six folks on the other side of the net trying to stop you from being successful at it. You know, you have the same thing with a goalie. So you can't just roll it up there. You have to have a strategy. You have to have a plan to get it past one of the best goaltenders in the world as well.
How much international competition, World Cup, Olympics, when it comes to maybe hockey, because I think there's some of the other team sports. I don't think it really affects volleyball. I don't really think it affects basketball. But where it's played in the world affects. You can't tell me that this wouldn't have been a different game if this would have been played in Europe. If the World Cup was in Europe and it was Germany and the U.S. versus in North America, where American fans can go.
It's a stronger. There was a lot of home cooking there. I mean, there was a lot of home cooking. Montreal is not real far away from a lot of American folks that love soccer and are going to come out there and support it. Absolutely, yeah. You're going to get better. You'd still have numbers, but you're going to get a whole lot better numbers there, and you're able to do that. And by the way, one last thing. That's the first time that a German player has ever missed a penalty kick in the Women's World Cup in the 7 years that they've had the Women's World Cup. It's over 28 years, yeah. But that's seventh World Cup. First time they've ever missed a PK. First one.
Probably cost them the game.
It did. It may very well have.
So tonight it's England and Japan. Japan beat the Americans 4 years ago on penalty kicks, so they will play that.
And they outplayed them, but then got beat on penalty kicks. They outplayed them in the game.
Here's what I say about this. Love penalty kicks. It's going back to your sport of hockey.
Mm.
If you're playing for the championship, not game 8 of the MLS season, play it out. Play till somebody scores. Sorry, they do it in hockey. You play till somebody scores. In soccer, when you're playing the World Cup, semifinals, finals, you should have to play till somebody scores.
I wouldn't argue that. I wouldn't argue against that. It is a truer form of the game. It is. It's a truer form of the game.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776 is the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, where you can reach us on soccer, hockey, baseball, whatever you want to bring up. We'd love to hear from you. Debt Popper inbox for your emails, as always, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Stop by and see the gang if you need some work done on your vehicle at the Debt Popper, and you can always tweet us at ESPN1460-1550, at ESPN1460-1550. Jimmy Langan earlier in the week said, man, I thought if the Royals could go 5-4 on this road trip, that'd be great. They were 5-1 at the time. Now they're 5-3. Houston showing that they are for real. It just halfway
they're
through
built
the
different,
season.
Aren't they? Those two teams are built so different.
In my skull, it's almost like it's just like you're getting your brain picked apart because I can't even envision if both of these teams made the playoffs and the Royals were ousted by the Astros.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How painful that would be. But they'll try and finish it off tonight. It's a 9-game road trip. Astros pitching well. Again, when the Royals don't score, that's when they struggle. The pitching is always there. They've had maybe one bad inning against Houston, But 6-1 and 4-0. They've scored one run in 18 innings.
What's interesting to me is how different these two teams are built. There is kind of the consistent, not a lot of power in the lineup for the Royals from top to bottom. And the Astros, they don't worry about strikeouts. They don't care. I mean, they're big boppers. They're going to try to hit the long ball, and they're kind of built for their ball club. I mean, you can't hit one out in the deepest part of center field where you have to go up the hill there. But it's a hitter-friendly park, and they're built for where they play. And that's a factor, too, because they're playing in Houston. There's a little bit of a factor with that because it does play into their game. But Houston's good. They're a couple years ahead of schedule. Everybody kind of said Houston, when they got the draft picks and the help they had on the farm, was going to be good, but they were looking at about 2017, not 2015.
Sometimes sports blends over into news. Sometimes news blends over into sports. And I always have a problem's not the right word there, but it seems to get overblown. This probably is not overblown, and I don't want to make this a political show because that's not what this is, but it does cross over into sports a little bit. And you know, Outside the Lines will probably have a piece on this as soon as they possibly can. But Daytona International Speedway, our NASCAR friends, they're not going to ban the Confederate flag from track property this weekend. Says the Speedway will offer an exchange program in which fans can trade a flag for the American flag. I find this interesting because I believe...
So there people staunch, come out there and they wave the Confederate flag in the crowd.
It's part of the South. And I know that is hard for people to differentiate. Between that. Part of it is college football teams in the SEC have that. It's part of your upbringing.
University of Mississippi.
I know.
That's, team captain runs out there with the Confederate battle flag. That's how they start. And sometimes the team captain is an African-American football player.
And I think...
And you're the Rebels, and I wrap my mind around that one. That's one of those things I'm kind of okay with.
You're going to have a bunch of kids. I guess what I'm trying to say is I believe that symbol, and there's so many of them in the world, but that symbol means different things to different people. But the only thing that they are now going to see here until something else comes up and this gets pushed to the back burner is the one thing. And that is all they are going to see. And I believe you're going to have that Washington Redskins type of fight where, well, you can't tell me I can't do this. I live in America. And I think this is going to be a story. This isn't going to go away right away. No. I think this is going to be a story for at least the rest of the year. NASCAR takes you into November. College football of any meaning takes you into November. And I think you're going to have people doing stories just on the fact that the Confederate flag is still being flown in the South at sporting events, and they will only do that to stir the pot. Whether that's good or bad,
well, how else you get? How do you facilitate that change unless you draw attention to it?
Exactly.
Here's the thing that I kind of have with this. I see the Confederate flag very similarly to, and again, I'm cautious about using this analogy because it deals with the Nazis, but it is very similar to the swastika. The swastika was around for hundreds of years, different cultures on different continents at different times. When Columbus got here, Native Americans were using that symbol to represent the sun. I mean, so the swastika was around for a long time. And then it got hijacked. Yeah, what is it associated with? What is it associated with? What is it tied to? There's no way to untie it from that anymore. And I think the same thing's true of the Confederate stars and bars, that the battle flag that they have, which was not actually the national flag of the Confederacy, but that battle flag got tied to, starting in the 1940s with the Dixiecrats. It started with that and white supremacist groups. It is tied to that. It is tied to that element of hate. There's no way to untie it. And that's why I think it belongs in a museum. Let's not forget about it. But I don't think it belongs on top of the General Lee. I don't think it should be waved in the crowd as well, because it has been hijacked. To me, it's very much, you don't see people out there waving the swastika around either.
I just think it's unfortunate that that 10% ruin it for 90%.
But it is associated with that. I mean, it is tied to
associated with a lot of other things too.
Yes, but And a lot of times there's that wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We really mean this, but hey, it's my heritage. You know, I mean,
we're in an overreaction society.
I think this is one of those things maybe you and I are going to disagree on, because I think
it
should
be gone.
And it
sounds like I'm defending the Confederate flag, and maybe I am. That wasn't the whole point of this thing. I saw the story come across this morning, and I thought, this ain't going to go away. Yeah. I guess that's my point.
And I would say this.
Go away.
If you want to have that Confederate flag hanging over your house and that identifies with who you are, I'm not going to think you're a bad neighbor for doing that. I'm not necessarily going to think you're a bad person for doing that. Some things are different when the government does it. And so when the government has it at the state capitol, that's an issue. If you want to name your car the Stonewall Jackson, that's fine. I just think it'd be very difficult to be an African-American and go to Stonewall Jackson High School. I just think that would be very hard to do. You know, because I'm cheering for that team, you know, go slave fighting slaveholders. I mean, that's not a so I think there is some sensitivity we have to have there.
Well, all of them. Totally agree. I just, how many things in the world does somebody hate? I mean, you could have,
and we can't get away from that.
98% of the people like it, but 2% don't.
Yeah. We're and again, there's difference to me between what the government does and what a private individual does. I think a private individual has a right to free speech, First Amendment right. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law, and it has a list of things, including that freedom of speech that we all love so much. You're protected from the government. I will say this, that if there is a chicken place and they're hanging the Confederate flag over the top of it, I kind of feel that that's a racist place, I may not do business there, which is, again, right within the First Amendment to be able to do that sort of thing. So you're not protected from other people with the First Amendment. You're protected from the government.
I'll close this out because I didn't want to do 65 hours on this thing. I just, again, my point is, I think with this being the 4th of July weekend and not a lot going on, I think you will, and I will be, I guess I will be surprised if there's not a little more discussion on this.
I can see,
especially
it.
When the race is going on. Back to from one of the things we were talking about earlier, Trent on Twitter says ending a soccer game on penalty kicks is like ending a baseball game with a home run derby. Hashtag let them play.
There's something to that, yeah. I would agree. In the tournament setting, I think you kind of need to do that in the tournament setting.
We'll talk a little baseball. Tino Martinez, the Grand American Game of Grand Island Home Federal, will join us to talk a little Legion baseball right after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Horizon Recovery and Counseling Center presents the 6th Annual Recovery in the Park Celebration on Friday, July 10th. There'll be a free barbecue with hamburgers and hot dogs at 6 p.m. at Brickyard Park in Hastings. Enjoy barbecue, free ice cream, cotton candy, popcorn, and face painting, and a free concert by the Going Home Blues Band. Free will donations are appreciated. For more information, call 462-2066 or log on to reviveinc.org. Revive Ministries hopes to see you at Brickyard Park Friday, July 10th for a great time of food and fellowship.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A 3-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly sunny, high of 87. Winds will be from the north between 5 and 10. Tonight, partly cloudy, a slight chance of storms, low near 65. And Thursday, showers and thunderstorms, temperatures at 84. Currently, it's 73.
We'll get our national flavor on this World Cup day. I don't know if Italy's
in
it.
Is this Fiddler on the Roof? What is it?
Doug Gooder, Randy Bushcutter with you at the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, along with you, just coming off a record-breaking month with the opening of the Midway Auto Outlet, and the gang is fired up. That just, when you see numbers like that, it just means, and you know, that they are taking care of their customers. Again, new customers come back time after time because it's safe, it's reliable, this is where I've been, I've not had a problem, and they continue to grow. And that's why Midway has continued to grow. As we move into the month of July, we remind you that maybe over this 4th of July weekend, you're just out driving around, swing by South 2nd Avenue, see what's out on the lot, or you can check it out online at thinkmidway.com. Don't forget, for Kearney's newest used car location, Midway's pre-owned vehicle selection is at an all-time high at the Midway Auto Outlet, the old Killian's Motor Building, also on South 2nd Avenue. And graduates, don't forget the 2015 College Grad Program offers special incentives. If you graduated from college in the last 2 years, will graduate in the next 6 months, or currently enrolled in a master's or doctoral program, talk with Midway about getting more rebates from the manufacturer. Your Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Merrick,
That was Dean Martin. I feel bad. I should know Dean Martin.
Well, yeah,
this is the very beginning of Amore. I'm not overly familiar with, though.
Outstanding song.
Once you get going into it, that talking part with foreign languages before, I didn't know what continent I was listening to there.
Well,
what country?
This is America, baby! America! America's game. Baseball. And last night, two big wins for Grand Island Home Federal as they took care of business out at North Platte, which keeps them alive in the Cornhusker League. And they get ready for the Mike Peterson tournament this weekend. Tino Martinez, coach at a ball club that's sitting at 26-9. He joins us, Doug Duda and Randy Bushcutter, on this first day of July. Tino, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you fellas doing?
You got a lot of, as usual, as a lot of guys do and coaches do, you got a lot of irons in the fire trying to coach baseball, trying to get through some basketball camps, and now we're almost, it's hard to believe, heading into the home stretch of baseball season here a couple of weeks from the area tournament. And I guess the first thing for the fans out there is, have you finally, I know you guys were banged up, you came out and had some kids gone at All-Star games. Has everybody been back together, and has that been able to get you a little momentum and a little bit of levity here in the last couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, we're closer to 100% than we've been all summer. We're still missing Parker Upton, who really, really hurts us. Not having him in the infield is something that we've had to work through. We've been able to gain some valuable experience for some other guys, and guys have stepped up and did a nice job in his absence. But we're hoping maybe Parker here in the next 10 to 14 days is able to at least give it a try. But, you know, we're still up in the air on him. But everybody else, as you mentioned, Kevin Coy at the Shrine Bowl, we were out his services for a while. Calvin Hinkey was out for a while. So we've done a nice job, I guess, of piecing it together through a difficult stretch. And it's nice to have a number of those guys back and available to us.
Tino, you don't even approach 26-9 without having a team that's pretty competitive and will go out there and battle night in and night out. But was there an extra level last night knowing that you had to win both games against North Platte to have a shot at the Cornhusker League title?
Well, I mean, I guess there was I don't want to say more of an importance because, you know, I think Kearney, with Coach Archer and Coach Conan over there, and before that with Coach Sponberg, and then here in Grand Island for the past number of years, both Kearney and Grand Island have put an emphasis on the Cornhusker League, and so we're kind of used to it coming down to one or two games, and as you mentioned last night, happened to be a doubleheader that we had to sweep to keep our hopes alive anyway. And so We were able to do that. North Platte was very scrappy. They fought hard. They do a lot of nice things. They run the bases, and maybe at the top of their order, they steal as many bases as anybody we've played. And so they put pressure on you in different ways with that. So we were very fortunate to be able to come out of there with two victories and in order to keep ourselves alive for a makeup game tomorrow night.
Talking with Tino Martinez, both games last night were close. Both games you guys had to rally in those. Take me through that.
Well, I mean, in game one, Calvin Hinkie was really probably as sharp as he's been in at least a month for us. That's his second start back from coming back from his time off from his shoulder tightness. And so he was sharp. He had his breaking ball working last night and change up. And so he really allowed us to stay in the game when we were having trouble getting to their guy, Jaden Cruz, and we were able to get some base runners on and manufacture a couple different things to get us a two-run cushion there. But the entire first game felt like it was, could go either way for the whole seven innings. And then game two, we fell behind, and we're down 4-1 going into the fifth, and we're finally able to get to their guy with some base running, the things that we were able to do. And then we had about two or three big hits in the inning to get five in the inning, and so and then we were able to tack on one more run, and then we just basically we held them off because they fought till the end. They had a runner on the seventh, and we threw them out trying to steal, and so it was fought till the bitter end. But it, again, I just thought we were very fortunate to load back up in the trucks heading home with two victories.
Well, obviously, a big doubleheader last night. You got the big tournament coming up this weekend, and then what comes down to being the league championship game in the middle. How much emphasis do you put on that in terms of how you approach it with your pitching? Will you just kind of go, who are you going to put on the mound, and is it going to be kind of all hands on deck and not worry about what that does to your rotation heading into the weekend tournament?
Well, yeah, we're not. Tomorrow will be the most important game, mostly because it's the next game, but also it has some implications as far as league title and whatnot. And so that's our number one emphasis. The weekends work out the way the weekends work out. I don't think you can ever really, plan for a 5 or 6 game weekend until it gets there. And so we'll take that one game by game. But Lane Ewing will be on the mound tomorrow for us in the game versus Kearney. He's on a full week's rest, so we should hopefully see him at working sharp and whatnot, but so the weekend will be what it is. It's definitely going to be a tough stretch for us, and no matter what the outcome of tomorrow's games, and that weekend becomes a formidable task with 5 or 6 games in 3 days, and obviously the Mike Peterson tournament. There's as good as anybody as far as teams being in it with that big of a tournament. So definitely a tough stretch for us, as it is for Kearney and everybody else that's going into the last couple of weeks of the season. And so we're just hoping to continue to heal up and maybe get some more guys some innings on the mound and stay sharp, because it has been a tough 2 weeks for us leading up to this point too.
Home Federal Legion coach Tino Martinez with us for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. Who did you draw in your pool this year, Tino?
I looked at that last week, and so I might miss a team or two, but I think we have North South in there, Fremont, Lincoln East, and Lincoln High, I believe, is the other team in our pool. North South, we haven't played this summer yet, but they ended our spring season in the high school state tournament. We've split with Fremont. We've played two tightly contested games with Lincoln East, but we're fortunate enough to win both of those. So it'll be a tough stretch. We're going to have to get good pitching and hopefully put ourselves in a good situation for Sunday.
And, Tino, obviously your offense is in pretty good shape. The second game of the doubleheader last night, scoring 7 runs against North Platte. Just kind of go through your offense, what you guys doing well, and who's kind of leading you guys offensively.
Well, when we're at our best offensively, we're getting guys on base with less than 2 outs. We're a team that's, we're not going to stand there and pound it off the wall and hit, rely on a big hit here and there. we need to get runners on and get them in motion in order for us to, you know, be able to make the most of scoring opportunities and things like that. Where we've gotten in trouble here in the last week is we've had some poor approaches at the plate, and runners have been scarce for us, and so that's been a little more difficult for us to push runs across. So if we're playing well offensively, we're putting runners on early in the innings, and we're able to move them over, whether it be hit run, straight steals, bunts, whatever it is. We try to capitalize on every runner we get, because we've just had sometimes hard time scoring at times, and so that would be, I guess, if I were writing a scouting report against us, getting the first out of the inning would be key if you're playing defense against us.
And finally, Tino, in just a couple of weeks, you guys get to host the area tournament, which is always better than traveling to South Sioux City. Nothing against the town. It's just a long ways away. How does the area stack up? Are you guys looking to be the number one seed?
Yeah, I think we secured the number one seed. We seeded it maybe a little differently than some others. We seeded our record amongst each other, and so we finished the area schedule of our area opponents 9-1. So I think we'll be the number one seed and put us in a good situation as far as that goes. But you know, Fremont's a much improved program here the last couple of years. Like I said, we split with them earlier. They have two pitchers that I think anybody would take on their roster, and they're able to apply some pressure at the plate. Columbus has two kids that can beat anybody on any given day, and the Morton kid, who's going to Creighton, obviously. So I think people are familiar with him. And then Gretna has played a much better second portion of their summer than they did their first portion. So it's probably as up in the air as it's been here in the last number of years, and it's I think it'll be, you know, a dogfight to be able to put ourselves in the situation of being one of the last two teams.
All right, Tino, always loved the rivalry, and thanks for winning a couple last night so that we could have a rivalry game tomorrow.
All righty. We're looking forward to it, guys.
Have a good one, Tino. Have a great weekend.
You guys, too. Thanks for having me.
Tino Martinez, American Legion coach, Grand Island Home Federal. Again, because of that, Kearney Runza will not play Lincoln Southwest tonight. Now, Post 52 will still play the junior game, but the senior game has been canceled, so both sets of seniors can concentrate. And they may, I think they actually have to play Southwest in their pool at Mike Peterson, if Coach Archer, I believe, told me that. And then
that makes perfect sense
Monday
based on the situation.
Whoever wins.
And it also shows the importance of the game. I mean, it matters to both programs, A, to beat the other guy, and B, you're playing. I mean, the league title is what it's all about. That isn't just a one weekend we got hot and we're playing good ball for a day. You're doing it over the course of the entire season to be able to win the Cornhusker League, and to do it against the other guys. That's what makes it even more special.
Coming up a little bit later on, Dave Larnick's going to join us towards the end of the show to talk about the State Games of America in lieu of the Cornhusker State Games. We will take a break here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth and talk some other sports when we come back.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you wanted. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
You can show your patriotism by going to your local world-class fireworks location to support military families by celebrating your freedom this 4th of July with a specifically designed red, white, and blue 500-gram cake by Folds of Honor and world-class fireworks. $10 will be donated directly to Folds of Honor and our American heroes' families.
Your area Marv's Fireworks discount stands all over central Nebraska are helping to ensure no family is left behind in the field of battle.
Raxum Clay is August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
You'll have fun, fun, fun when you make it Funner Park.
Make it lunch today at Funner Park's Finish Line Restaurant and Sports Lounge. Choose from a taste-tempting menu of specialty burgers, salads, sandwiches, and wraps. Full bar service, too. And you can play Keno and watch and wager on nationwide thoroughbred racing from your favorite tracks, including fabulous Belmont Park. Nonstop action begins at lunchtime, continuing to dinner and twilight racing at the Finish Line, number one for food and fun. Don't miss out. Save big from Sunheat this Thursday only until 7 p.m. on the coolest fan ever. When used outside, the new Cool Zone Ultrasonic Dry Misting Fan repels mosquitoes away with 100% safe and natural repellent. Keeps the party rocking with built-in speakers and Bluetooth technology. Maintains a cool temp in your lounge area with a dry mist that doesn't spit water like other misters. And, of course, cuts utility costs when zone cooling indoors. Just in time for the 4th. New misting fans starting at only $169. This Thursday only. Sunheat Warehouse, just west of 281 on Highway 30, Grand Island.
Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 short miles north of Kearney on Highway 10, is under new management. Prairie Hills Golf Course is a beautiful course nestled on 132 acres of rolling hills that makes for a fun and challenging golf experience. And they have the lowest 18-hole rates in the area. Call to reserve your tee time now or call to ask about their upcoming leagues. Just call Justin at 308-388-5115 at Prairie Hills Golf Course. That's 308-388-5115.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug and Randy Bushcutter, taking a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topic. We asked you yesterday, after declining his option with the Miami Heat, will Dwayne Wade decide to stay with the Heat, re-sign with them, or sign with another team? I believe he'll re-sign with the Heat, Randy?
I agree. I think he'll stay in Miami.
75% of our voters say he will re-sign with the Heat. Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Novak Djokovic won today. Did Serena win, too? She's playing. I guess. Let me look here. Who will be out of the tournament first? Who's going to get upset first, Djokovic or Williams? Who you got? Williams, well, it's been pushed back, so she's just about ready to begin.
She's a little bit more up and down. I think I'd go with Serena in terms of more likely to get beat.
I think there's more competition on the men's side, so I'll say Djokovic has a better chance of going out. Problem is, Djokovic might not have that happen. I mean, when you'd be playing a 3-4-5 guy in the world in the quarters and semis, where I think that the competition is much closer than Serena playing a 4-5-6 in the world in the quarters and semis.
I agree that your logic is up there, but Serena, to me, just kind of seems like she's a little up and down. Sometimes she'll have that inconsistency, and she's had a little bit of injury problems too from time to time.
And she says, it doesn't matter if I win or not. Yeah, I don't need the Serena Slam. I don't need the Grand Slam. That's weird.
I think she says that. The way she plays, though,
I think she believes
during the match.
I think she believes it. I think she wants to win every time she's out there.
Yeah,
but I think that I believe that when she said it, I believed her.
Well, but what I'm saying is, when she goes out there and she unzips the cover off of her tennis racket, she's all business.
Totally changing gears here. Maryland football coach Randy Edsall, a three-year contract extension, led the Terps to a 4-4 record in the first year in the Big Ten. And I think a lot of people were thumbs up to Maryland that they did just fine in their first year in the Big Ten.
Very nice addition.
Maybe we're at the top of their ceiling for what they had for football.
And they had a nice receiving core. That was really kind of the strength of their team. And there was something a little bit different than the rest of the league. And I think the rest of the league is going to have to adjust a little bit to the way that the Terps like to throw the ball around.
Here is a favorite question that I'll pose here, because now the Dallas Cowboys, they keep continuing the college football tradition. They're going to play a game there over Labor Day weekend. They've had a couple. They're going to continue to do that. This year it's Alabama, Wisconsin, and they've got it all planned out now through 2019 when Auburn and Oregon will face off. Just far enough away that they both might be really good or one of them might fall off a little bit. You don't know.
Still good brand names there, though.
It's just on the border of that's far enough out. Don't plan them any farther than that. Last time they played was 2010 in the national championship game, and Auburn hit the last second field goal to win by three. Alabama plays Wisconsin this year. Alabama plays Southern Cal next year in Dallas, which that should be awesome. Then Florida will play Michigan, and LSU will play Miami. Those have been announced earlier, but yesterday announced that it was Auburn and Oregon. I'm not saying it. Here's the question that gets asked a lot. If Nebraska was going to play in one of those games again, and let's face it, when all this stuff started with the kickoff classic and the two or three times that they had some of these before they decided let's not do this for a ahead of everybody type of game, Nebraska got in there and they got to play Penn State one year and they played West Virginia one year and there was a couple others in there. But if Nebraska was going to play in Dallas, I'm going to take the Texas thing off the board here. Who would you like to see Nebraska play? There's some teams that they have played on a consistent basis, like a Washington or a Virginia Tech. You know, they've had a couple. You know, the Southern. It doesn't matter how good or bad they are.
UCLA over the years.
Yeah, UCLA. If you could pick anybody, don't tell me Oklahoma. I mean, because that's coming. But if you could play somebody. Who would you like to see? Notre Dame would be fun again, I suppose, but I think
Alabama would be a good one.
There.
I mean, I remember them playing for the. And I am so old, I remember when they played back in the 70s for the national title. Alabama, that's nice, a little old school thing. Bama would be all right. Florida, play them for a national title, that'd be okay.
I think the answer 2 years ago would have been Miami.
Yeah, it would have been.
Now that we're in the middle of that home and home, I don't know that there's a whole lot of connection, and there's not a whole lot of great college football in the Northeast.
And again, if you're going to do it down in Dallas, I mean, there should be somewhat of a Southern tint to it, in my opinion. You know, I don't know if you necessarily, and I understand Penn State's in the conference now and it doesn't count, but there was a time that made sense because we competed against them in one way or another back in the 90s quite a bit, and then playing on a neutral site would make sense. But again, if you're going down, why would you go to Dallas for that? You know, it should be someplace between the two schools. That's why I almost think it needs to be a Southern tint a little bit.
It made me think that we complain a lot about not getting to play a lot of, you know, that there's, well, we only play one good team a year like most people. But think about it over the last 15 and in the upcoming 5 years, you've been in the Big 8, you've been in the Big 12, you've been in the Big 10. A lot of those non-conference games have been against Pac-12 opponents. You have played Washington, Washington State, Arizona State, USC, UCLA, Stanford. I don't know that there's any connection there. I suppose that would be cool.
No connection, but it's really all right.
Now, with being in the Big 10, you're playing SEC schools in bowl games, Georgia, South Carolina. I don't think LSU would be a lot of luster. If Bo was still here, maybe that would make it interesting.
I'd rather play a Saturday night down there, and I know how tough that'd be down in Baton Rouge. But
Tennessee's
a Saturday night
coming
down there
in a few
right.
years. Tennessee would be great, but they're coming up in a few years. Another 10 years, I guess it is now. But I don't know who I would pick.
Well, I like the having a little bit of a history, you know, having a past with them. That's why I kind of like an Alabama, you know, or Florida, because we played them for the national title back in the mid-90s. That would be kind of fun.
I think Nebraska Notre Dame would sell it out.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And you could play that wherever you want to play that. Yeah, you could play that at the Horseshoe in Columbus, and it'd still be sold out. I mean, you put it wherever you want to, that would sell out.
Congratulations to the Nebraska Danger players that were named All-IFL in quarterback Jameel Sewell, running back Wayman James, and offensive lineman Darius Savage. First team, second team, defensive lineman Justin Edison, and offensive lineman in Travis Turner. The team that they play in the IFL title game, the United Bowl from Sioux Falls, they had 8 players selected all league. So congratulations there. Nebraska Coaches Association, we touched on it at the top of the program. We're going to talk with Dave Malarnik here from the State Games of America in a moment. But coaches of the year for all of the high school sports, 2 from Hastings St. Cecilia, Kevin Asher, boys basketball, Randy Ahrens in golf, and Nancy Lockman of Giltner in boys track and field. So congratulations to all of them.
A lot of success there.
Three straight state championships for Pierce girls, and Darren Sindelar wins the award this year. O'Neill wins it in wrestling with Brian Corkle. They had a couple of matches, the Amherst duel that we got to broadcast, a couple things there. Football coach Arnie Johnson, the outgoing coach at Boone Central, Newman Grove. They also had the girls cross-country coach in Tom Dickey, and, you know, that's a majority of them. Omaha Marions had volleyball in Rochelle Rolfe. So
going back to the IFL real quick, former Loper Kyle Kaiser with the Colorado Ice, also all IFL, so a former Loper as well.
Good catch. And as we mentioned yesterday, Cole Manhart released by the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, the State Games of America deadline for registration is tonight, midnight, online, SGA2015.com, SGA2015.com. And we say that is for most of the sports. Dave Mularnik, executive director of the Cornhusker State Games and the State Games of America, rejoins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Randy Bushcutter, I say rejoin because we talked with him last month about getting registered and how things were going. And Dave, good morning. How are things going?
Things are going great. In the night, sometime last night, we became the largest State Games of America ever, which is a nice feather in our cap. The old record of 10,803 registered participants that Colorado Springs had back in 2009 is no more. So we're up over 11,000, and the entries are piling in today. We expect probably by the end of the day we'll be up over 13,000. And then with the late entries and everything else, you know, hopefully finish up somewhere in that 16 to 18 range.
Dave, is there a sport that people are really, you're kind of surprised that they've signed up for as much and become more popular than you anticipated?
You know, something that we didn't really anticipate was pickleball. This pickleball sport has turned out to be one that's, this State Games of America national competition has become kind of a holy grail in that world. And we're getting more eligibility calls and people tattling on people from other states that they know didn't qualify, and it's kind of interesting, really.
And we mentioned that most sports you have to register for by tonight. Dave, what are some of those that are still on the table next week?
Well, a lot of the things that are traditionally events that you can register late or even walk up and do, like mountain bike, the road race run, our walk events, which are non-competitive, we do those. We do sailing, we do fishing. And the reality is, and I know this is on the air, and I don't want people to not have a sense of urgency, but we'll be cleaning up entries for a couple of days here. So if people are panicked, I don't want them to panic. They'll still be able to get in the system tomorrow, probably, as we're working through mail-in entries and all of that. So we push really hard for that deadline, but we all will, I'm sure, have the opportunity to get people in through Friday for sure.
Dave, I know
that, anything.
I know some of the appeal of the Cornhusker State Games is you have somebody that likes to do stuff in Kearney, and now they get to compete with people from across the state. Obviously, if we were talking about the national games as we are, that's just really going to absolutely expand that and give people a tremendous opportunity in a social atmosphere to meet some people from around the world.
It's really cool. There's 47 different states represented, and most of the sports have at least, you know, 5 to 10 different states that are represented. So everyone's going to have a chance to mix it up. You know, the people who are used to competing in the team sports, a lot of times if they do a lot of competitions in Nebraska, they see the same competition. Well, this is mixing that up and shaking it up, and that's probably the best opportunity and the reason that we're really hopeful Nebraskans turn out in droves, because we know they'll have a great experience with new competition.
Talking with Dave Mularnik, executive director of the Cornhusker State Games and State Games of America. You need to get registered tonight by midnight, SGA2015.com. And I know the opening ceremonies are the highlight, I believe, of the entire week here. There's a lot of cool things. You've got some great national sports figures that are coming. I know since we last talked, there's been some developments there. What more can you tell us about opening ceremonies at Pinnacle Bank?
Well, you know that Lolo Jones and Jordan Burroughs are going to be part of the torch lighting that is really kind of the climax of that evening. What you may not know is just the magnitude of the Cauldron build-out. I was just down at Memorial Stadium where that's going to happen on July 31st, and there's a whole scaffold system that's being built so that the torch apparatus, which is going to be about 30 feet wide, is up off of the stadium seats about 30 feet, and then we're going to have the ribbon boards incorporated and the video boards there. It's going to be spectacular. But also Doug McDermott has joined the fun. He is going to be the grand marshal of the parade of athletes. So we'll parade the athletes in by state, 47 states, and then we'll all watch the Metal Militia jump motorcycles and have that torch lighting and fireworks. It's going to be awesome.
Dave, what always has impressed me is the gamut, the wide range of different activities. You kind of mentioned some categories with hunting and fishing and that sort of thing. But just touch on that a little bit more. I mean, there's a lot of sports that don't have the word ball in it anywhere that you can compete in the games.
67 different sports is what we have. And you're right, the traditional Olympic sports and all of those team sports that we have are pretty heavy youth-oriented around here. They're there, and we'll have a wide range of competition from the usual beginning levels to the elite competitors. But then we'll have lots of off-the-beaten-path events, you know, things like foosball, electronic darts, pocket billiards. We've got disc golf, skating and ice hockey, both big events in the State Games of America. So it really, we try to be as inclusive as possible.
Dave, what are, just following up on that, as every one of the press releases say, that the games will be in Lincoln and then Omaha and surrounding communities. Is there a special venue or two for a sport that will be unique?
Well, I mean, just utilizing some of the University of Nebraska athletic facilities, UNO athletic facilities, is pretty new to us, and we'll have people, I think, in a wow state when they get to go and play at those venues. But thankfully, I mean, the venue hosts around this area, we have some really great sports venues, and they've been very open about and proud of being able to host this event. So it'll be a nice showcase.
And finally, Dave, just one last shout-out here. We keep reminding, and we'll continue to do so on the afternoon sports, to get registered tonight. One more thing that you want to let the listeners know about.
I think you've covered it very well. It's going to be a grand event, and hopefully everybody will turn out.
Dave, I know it's a busy day for you. I know it's a busy month, and hopefully you'll get a little vacation time before the start of the football season. So keep up the good work. Congratulations on the record break, and now let's have a lot of fun with those that are coming in from across the country.
Sounds great. Thanks to you guys for helping us get the word out.
You bet. No problem,
right,
Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Anytime. Dave Mlarnik joining us, Executive Director of Cornhusker State Games, State Games of America. Again, registration until midnight tonight online, SGA2015.com, SGA2015.com.
Foosball. That'd be fun. I used to be a foosball player. And it was a misspent youth is what that was.
That doesn't surprise me. I believe
foosball is
right
an awesome game.
Right around my age, some people still played. That was huge in college. It was just huge in college from around my age. But anybody that's in the 10 years, I think, older than me, really got into that.
Our high school lunch outside of the cafeteria, we had kind of an area. I played foosball the entire lunch period. And the other great foosball player, because I was okay. I mean, I'll say it. I'll toot my own horn. I was a pretty good foosball player. The other one that was really, really good, Lisa could really play foosball. She was awesome. And when we teamed up, nobody was going to beat us. No way. Lisa, Malik, and I.
I can imagine that there'll be some tweets and emails coming out for a challenge.
It's been a while since I played. And to tell you what, I have played against some guys in the last few years that have kept up on it. I get smoked now. I mean, I get absolutely obliterated now.
I'm sure there's any of the great sports bars in our Tri-Cities area.
Oh, yeah, there's some good foosball players.
To have you come along and make sure, do that. We'll send the challenges out to Randy.
Yeah, I will take my beating like a man, and I won't be up there just spinning and, you know, because I'm frustrated. I'll still try to do things right. It's just good foosball players today will mop up the floor with me now today.
Well, mopping up the floor with the competition and always doing things right are our friends at T&L Irrigation System. T&L is like no other. Visit your local T&L dealer like Kyle Stewart at R&K Irrigation in Grand Island or Bill Shapley at Mid-States Irrigation in Kearney. Check out the new GPS navigation corner system that goes with the regular hydrostatic T&L pivot. Sometimes, as we all know, I don't have to explain it to the farmers, your pivot can't get to the corners or your layout of your land is a little bit different. The corner system will help you out there. And again, it's GPS just like your hydrostatic system is with the PP3 control, where you can control it from everywhere. Like I said, the 4th of July is coming up. You don't want to have to run out to your one farm or your 6-10 fields, wherever you might be, and chase down pivots all day long when you've got the technology to do it with your GPS or your smartphone or your computer, wherever you're at. You can be on vacation and go, yep, getting everything I need in my field. From T&L, go to TLIRR.com or see your local T&L dealer. We've got more coming up after this.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating spray-on bed liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating spray-on bed liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Renovation to the Doug and Daddy Studios are coming up at the end of the summer. You know how I'm not looking forward to that? Because that means you got to do cleaning and move stuff and sort stuff.
I just found clothing for you, crying out loud. I mean, there's a wardrobe in here once you get through all the junk.
No, there's not.
Well, okay, that doesn't exist. I'll take that because that's pretty nice.
It's not a wardrobe. UNK Athletic Director Dr. Paul Plinsky announced today that Hilke Brandon and Steve Stutzman been promoted for the Lopers. Brandon, Assistant Athletic Director for External Relations. Stutzman, Director of Ticket Operations, effective on this July 1st, and a lot of that going on. We talked about Hugh Miner, Rhonda Blanchford Green at Tafoner in the NSAA, the June 30th deadline. College of St. Mary comes in today to the GPAC conference. A lot of that July 1st stuff is going on, but congratulations to those two. Both have been a part of the Loper program, of course, for Hilke Brandon down the road there at Alma. Both of them did their athletics at UNK.
Yeah, so they kind of keep it in the family. It's kind of nice to see.
Another UNK note, you may have seen this earlier in the week. I just hadn't got to it yet. Former Loper runner Casey Lichtai ran. What happens when a marathon isn't enough for you? Is I wouldn't know, but
there's like a 100-mile race. Is that what this is?
That's what this is.
Oh, man.
She was the second fastest woman.
I'm tired driving that far.
Second fastest woman and 24th out of 278 men and women that raced in the Western States Endurance Run in Squaw Valley, California. A 100.2-mile course.
Oh, .2.
Took her over
100.2.
19 hours and 20 minutes. It's the world's oldest 100-mile event. It starts in Squaw Valley near the site of the 1960 Winter Olympics and later ends up in Auburn, California. Runners climb more than 18,000 feet, descend nearly 23,000 feet before they reach the finish line. Of course, she qualified.
Can't do it flat. It's got to be up and down. We got to throw up and down in there because it's only 100.2 miles.
Ultra running.
Holy cow.
Ultra running. So there you go. Nebraska senior match play begins for the men today in Arbor Links, Nebraska City. The women's match play will be next week. Danielle Lemick trying to win it again at Oakland Golf Club. You into this 4th of July?
This is going to be the quietest 4th of July, literally and figuratively, that I think we've had in forever. Because my son,
you a big buyer of the fireworks.
This is the first year that we haven't been huge investors in a fireworks corporation.
You get
somewhere crazy
into the fireworks.
There are times. I've been known to go crazy. This year is a little bit quieter.
You ever went to a stand and they just didn't have what you wanted?
That has happened. Yes.
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black cats, no Roman candles, or screaming mimes?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers?
No, I don't.
You're gonna stand there, owning a fireworks stand, and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, hoosker do's, hoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips and dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
See?
Nothing better than those spleen splitters. I mean, you know, you get a good spleen splitter. Yeah, you're just entertained for hours.
You want to have fun. If you're there at the right time, just hang around a fireworks stand. Hang around them and listen to what the people are either asking or their fireworks stories, which are also grand. Huh. There's that 16,000 roll, or as they call them, cake, 16,000 roll of firecrackers. How long will that last? 27 minutes. What if I throw gasoline on it? What'll happen?
It'll be less than 27 minutes.
How many times over the 4th has the phrase, "Hey, watch this," been uttered?
Yeah, and that's usually precipitated by here. Hold my beer.
I'm a big fan of watching them.
Over the years we've done a lot. Neighbors and I we've gotten together and we've invested. This the kids are a little bit older and it's kind of taken away from my fireworks this year. I'll have to sneak out and just do them myself.
We'll have to discuss things while we have lunch at the Chicken Coop. A lot of places say they are a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. And the one thing about the Chicken Coop, yeah, they've got food. Maybe you don't need a big meal. You just want an appetizer, or you split an order of wings or a quesadilla while you're watching your favorite sporting events, while you're knocking back your favorite ice-cold beverage. Maybe you're just there to play a little Keno. It's all there for you. It's a great place to relax. It's a family place. There's something on the menu for everyone, and they just love having the families and the kids. They've even got the party room. If you got a big old, hey, I'm having a birthday party for the youngsters, come on in. They got the games to play, video games and all that. Take care of the kids. There's a lot of different reasons to go to the Kearney Chicken Coop.
Fantasy football draft is coming up soon. Before you know it, that's a great place to do it.
Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill in downtown Kearney. One more thing before we get out of here. You're, as we said, hockey guy as well, soccer guy, hockey guy. We talked with Coach Jim Holton. By the way, at the time that we signed off the show yesterday, we had apparently confirmed an interview with new coach Bill Muckholt, but then that got changed in the afternoon, and I don't know when we'll have the new coach on the show. We will have that opportunity at some point. Reading more, Connor O'Gara from the Kearney Hub was able to get in contact with owner Kirk Brooks and did a great job on the story and presented, I hate to think it's a debate, but both sides were represented. And my takeaway at this moment from this is that there's no doubt Curt Brooks is a businessman, and Jim Holton had time to sign the contract, and enough time had passed that Mr. Brooks decided, I need to be looking, and then he found somebody. And I don't know, it seems like there wasn't one more phone call, and I suppose if you've got enough of them, you just say, forget this. But there wasn't more phone call going, Jimmy,
now or never.
I need to know, because I can get another coach. I'm not forcing you out the door, but I am telling you right now, you got 24 hours, yes or no, because I've got a guy. And that's pretty much what both of them have said, except that the phone call in between. And so Jim Holton out, and you've got a guy named Bill Muckholt that we'll get to know.
Big shoes to fill. Jim Holton did an outstanding job. And just as a Storm fan, it's unfortunate to see him out there. Maybe the new guy will even be better, but I'm telling you, there weren't a whole lot of guys better than the job that Jim Holton did over the last few years for the Storm. One of the best coaching jobs, GM jobs, in the league over the last few years. So that's... The bar is raised pretty high, and hopefully,
thank God.
Yeah, and it's the way you want it to be, right?
There was a couple of years there where we all know, how could it get any worse? So it's headed in the right direction. I hate to see all these changes, because you had the parts in place. Let's hope that the new parts, and that's from the new GM to the head coach to the Viero Event Center staff, let's hope it all works out, because it was a lot more entertaining this year. Tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show, we will be talking a little Husker football heading into the holiday weekend. We'll also catch up with Mike Perenio of the Mandalay Bay. I know we'll have a little fun with him and co-host Jimmy Langan talking about some of the preseason college football lines that we touched on yesterday. And we want to thank our guest today, Dave Mlarnik, Executive Director of the State Games of America. Don't forget to get registered online, SGA2015.com, by midnight tonight. And Grand Island Home Federal Baseball coach Tino Martinez. Happy July, Randy.
Happy July. Let's go burn some, light something on fire and have it go pop.
See you tomorrow.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.